Now, I know that you're probably expecting me to talk about wine, red wine, and what wine does and where it comes from. I'm not going to do that today. That's just way too obvious for you lot, not doing that. I just want to talk about the imagery that Jesus uses there about the vine, though. Remembering that this conversation took place on the night before he was killed. So he's at the Last Supper, and there are two theories. One is that he has this conversation with the disciples in the upper room, the place of the Last Supper. That's one theory. I prefer to go with the second theory that says that he's had the Last Supper and he's having this conversation on the way from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. And we all know what happens in Gethsemane. The reason why I'm more comfortable with that is because I can imagine more clearly Jesus walking along. They've just had the meal. He's explained to them about breaking his body and he's going off to participate in that. And then along the way, he's come across a vine or a vineyard of some kind. Now, even on Mount Zion now, today, it's at the bottom of it, in the old city of Jerusalem, or it's actually just outside the old city of Jerusalem, those vines are still there. And I can clearly imagine Jesus walking along and seeing his vine and saying to the boys, now, see the main vine? I am the main vine. See these branches, you blokes? You are those branches. And it's an image that would stick in their mind, and it's one that they wouldn't need to work out, well, what's he saying this time? It would be very obvious to them. And then he starts talking about the pruning. Now, remember, this was written, at the end of the first century. So after Jesus' death. So by that stage, the church had gone through the pains of being established as a church, as not just a movement anymore. This was a new dynamism that was changing the world. And John's recording this, and so the conversations are really, really important to encourage these believers who have gone through and are still in a persecution, still suffering. So words like pruning and cutting off, they would understand probably more clearly than what most of us do here, because we would associate the pruning and the cutting off with having a bad day or life's not good for me at the moment. And that's not really what Jesus is talking about. He's actually talking about the pain that comes with remaining attached to the vine. I am the vine. He uses very clearly the vine image also because Israel, in the Hebrew Bible, was referred to as the vine. Jesus is the true vine. Israel is not. And Jesus replaces what Israel was. It is the fulfillment of the kingdom. And therefore, this work, this vine, has to grow. And John, St. John, the author of this gospel, his community, is encouraging that growth, but trying to be realistic by saying that if you're going to stick in there and hang on to this vine, which you must do, there will be some pain. But the outcome at the end is going to be okay. So I think for us, there will be some pain. I think for us, we find it more challenging to look at the birth of the church, as it were, and what the disciples and the apostles did and where they end up. We find that an historical event, and we just find it a little bit more difficult to participate as a disciple today because our Western mind doesn't work the way that Jesus is talking. We're not wired that way anymore. And as each century unfolds, we seem to have gotten ourselves into a position where we're further and further removed in the West from what Jesus was referring to. And I say that simply because Jesus is not talking about the success of the apostles. and the disciples and the success of the church. That is not language that he's using. He uses language which is particular to growth, a vine, and that language is the language of fruit and fruitfulness. Now, in the West, we judge how well we're going, usually by how successful we are. Well, with success comes things like power and control and selfishness, things that make me look good and big and grand in the eyes of everybody else. So we could drive around a suburb in a big flash car, and that could be a sign to a person walking it, oh, that person's successful because of their car. And then the person in the car would look at a big flash house there somewhere and say, well, that person's obviously successful because of their big flash house. That's where we've gone so far from the language what Jesus is trying to encourage in the disciples, which is fruitfulness. And the example of that might be in the first reading where St. Paul, we knew him as Saul. He had his encounter with Christ on the way to Damascus. And remembering that Saul persecuted the early church. He was the one who witnessed Stephen being stoned to death. In fact, he collected the coats of those who were doing the stoning. So he was right in there, hands on. And now he's had this encounter with Christ, and he's come back to Jerusalem. That's what the first reading is about. It's the first of six journeys that Paul will make back to Jerusalem. And today he comes back and he says, I am plugged into the vine. I am a branch of Jesus. And of course, on his first visit, they did not accept that because they remember the stoning and the persecution that he was involved with. So Paul actually had to get out of Jerusalem at that time for his own safety. And it was Barnabas who brought Paul to the fore again. It was Barnabas who convinced the early church that Paul was okay. His life has changed. And it has changed because he is definitely plugged into the vine, into Jesus. So Paul was a living example of what Jesus was referring to when he had this conversation. But Paul's event happened much later. And that fruitfulness that I'm talking about, it is a whole different ball game. If you want to know what the fruitfulness is, it's not big houses and big cars. That's going to be attached to power, as I said, and especially control and wealth that is quite often corrupt, either physically or psychologically. It certainly corrupts spiritually. And people who have got a lot of money and who are generous are usually generous with conditions. Fruitfulness is about being generous unconditionally. I want you to take up your bulletin if you've got it there. I want you to look at the front page of the bulletin right at the top. For those who have the bulletin. Likewise, it says right at the very, very top, we must remain attached to Jesus if we are to receive the life of God and produce the fruits of the Spirit. Not success, but producing the fruits of the Spirit in our world. And I want you to say these next nine words with me, if you would, please. So let's go. And the fruits of the Spirit are love, they are the nine fruits that we talk about during confirmation as well. Those are the things, those nine things that get mentioned mostly in the confessional. Not my lack of success. I've got to try harder, work longer, get more money, more things. It's usually these nine things. They are the signs of the fruit in our life. And I would commend you to you again this morning to take those with you and just see how are you and how am I and how are we producing these things in our life. They don't belong to me, but the signs of the fruit in our community and in our life will be in those things. Is there joy in my life? And I've said this before, we have the greatest gift we're about to share in, and the number of people that come to communion tripping over their bottom lip amazes me. That should be the most joyous moment in their life as they receive communion. Things like peace. Peace is hard to get. And we had a little incident just 5 minutes ago. And just by removing the incident, a child who's breathing lively air into their lungs, that should not affect our peace. See, some people will say, that's disruptive. Get the noisy kid out of here. Whereas I look at it in terms of, that's just a sign of life in our community. And thank heavens we've got young lungs being tested in this place. I think that's a wonderful thing. If the kids want to run around in the church, I don't have a problem with that. I do if they want to knock over the Paschal candle or something. But it gives me more joy to see the parents being embarrassed. And things like generosity in our community, they actually start from the person who welcomes you at the front door and you don't know them and hands you the bulletin, hopefully. Our faithfulness, well, like, you're here. It would be easier on our coldest morning so far, 3 degrees, to probably stay in bed. But you're not. You're actually here. Your gentleness, your self-control, these things in your life, are they there or are they not there? Please take that bulletin with you, even pin that little bit up. They are the things that we aim for. And for people who are plugged into the vine, those things will come naturally to us. They won't come without some effort. They won't come without some pain, because there's some pruning to go on. We know that. But they will come to us. And if you demonstrated those things, and I demonstrated those things in my own life, we would be living in a much more peaceful world. And I think that that's what we have to make our focus on now, is fruitfulness, not success. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.